In recent months, hundreds of Catholics around Boston who say they were sexually abused by priests have begun to tell their stories.
It's very ugly. There's a quality to it that is so dark and so evil. I feel at times I'm walking on the edge of hell.
Barbara Thorpe works for the Boston Archdiocese, running a new office that pays for victims' therapy. She says many of the stories are so horrific, her staff can barely handle it. Indeed, many victims describe the past year as the most tumultuous and painful of their lives. But many also say that it's been a very productive year as they've begun to speak out and let go of the shame and the secrecy they carried for so long. NPR's Tovia Smith reports.
Visit with victims and it becomes clear the pain is as widespread as it is deep. Huddled together on the leather couches and stuffed chairs at a local university for a weekly support group, there's a UPS guy fidgeting with his beeper, a middle-aged lawyer busy taking notes, a 31-year-old construction worker in a wool-knit cap who they call the Kid, as well as a butcher, a pharmacist, and a house painter.
My birthday on the 18th, my sister's throwing a big party for everybody.
I can go?
Oh, yeah, I want you to come, and yourself, too.
This is a group, however, where conversation turns quickly from lighthearted to locker room. Decades ago, these guys were all good Catholic altar boys. Today, they come together to recall their abuse by one bad parish priest.
That's what I can remember him being in my ear, telling me to be quiet because you had a room full of priests, and I was working there, and he basically was behind you, and he's in there, shh, be quiet, because there's people around,
Paul Shimataro, the Kid, says he was abused when he was 14 by the now deceased Father Joseph Birmingham.
And here I do. I explode for the first time in my life, not knowing if I'm bleeding or not. I go into his private bathroom, and I'm like, what had just happened? I don't know what just happened.
I remember the same thing with Birmingham. I remember the night. Here's a guy that forcibly...
After years of burying the memories, these men seem determined to get all the gory details out. Sometimes with bravado and sometimes with black humor, they bear witness to others who've suffered in ways they thought only they had. It's great comfort to guys like Shimataro, who says his family can't deal with his abuse. Today, Shimataro says this support group is the only place where he can really open up. And he's constantly stopping to thank these guys he now considers brothers.
I'm going to tell you the truth, that it's kind of tough, that nobody wants to talk about it other than what we're doing. And I think that it's healthy to do that, you know?
I know what you're going through. I mean, my parents and I, you know, it was almost like they were embarrassed and ashamed of me, you know?
How's your mother?
Many of these men only began the road to healing a few months ago. Before the scandal broke and stirred up memories of their own abuse, many didn't even know they had anything to heal. 40-year-old Gary Bergeron says he was abused by Father Birmingham for nearly 3 years. It started in the showers after a tennis game when he was 11. But he never sought counseling or even spoke about it until last year when he saw Birmingham's picture on the front page of the paper.
And that's when I was 12 years old again. My stomach was in a knot. I was nauseous. My palms were sweaty, and I said, enough, I got to do something.
It was only after he started therapy last year, Bergeron says, that he began to connect the dots, making sense of everything from why he would never play team sports in school to why he moved 22 times over the last 19 years and could never really hold a job. Since Bergeron spoke out about his abuse, so has his younger brother and his 78-year-old father.
You know what? For my father, after 70 years, the guilt that he's carrying, because he didn't say anything, for him to look at me in tears and say that he can't help but feel that my brother and I are suffering because of his sins of silence, he still considers himself responsible. I'm not going to carry that guilt to my kids. I am not.
There are other victims, however, just as adamant that they are not yet ready to deal with what happened to them. And there are many who are just now beginning to focus on their own painful memories.
Well, let's pretend that you and I have a time machine and that we can go back there.
Therapist Judith Weiler specializes in helping people heal from childhood traumas such as sexual abuse.
Are we back there?
Yeah.
What do you see?
My sister at the door, and she was kind of almost crying.
Slowly, Over the last few months, Weiler's patient, a 47-year-old man named Phil, has been trying to focus in on what happened to him as a boy, and at least in his head, to confront his abusers.
What do you want to say to them?
You go out of here now. Go out. Get out of my house.
Mm-hmm. Are they listening? Are they leaving?
No.
Okay. Let's strap together. One, two, three.
To get out of here.
Out.
Get out.
That's it.
It is both painstaking and painful to focus so intensely on the abuse Phil says he spent 35 years trying to forget. He says he has vivid memories of being molested by the now defrocked priest John Gagan one afternoon in a church cloakroom, but he says he's still afraid to deal with the bulk of what happened to him.
I have this incredible block, you know, that I can't approach. It just rips me up. So I'm sort of dragging my heels in therapy, and, you know, it's just, I don't know if I can, I honestly think my heart might go if I revisit that. It's so terrifying.
Understand this, Cardinal Law. Get this. We will not be silent.
Many victims who've been demonstrating outside the archdiocese for much of the past year describe a sense of relief they get from channeling their anxiety and their anger into activism.
Shame on you!
28-year-old Patrick McSorley is another of Gagan's alleged victims. He's also one of the most outspoken critics of the church. He's quit working to do it full-time, but McSorley says it's helping him heal.
I tell you, it makes you feel important when someone asks you what you think should be done with the Archdiocese of Boston. I mean, it's actually therapy giving my opinions on things about this, because, I mean, it happened to me. I'm one of the people who should have say in this matter.
McSorley says his abuse involved one incident in 1986 when Gagan put his hands up McSorley's shorts and grabbed at him. He says his wounds from that afternoon did not heal when he watched Gagan go to jail, or when he saw Cardinal Law step down, or even when he got his financial settlement from the church last year. Healing, McSorley says, will take time.
You know, people come up to me a lot and say, well, why are you still doing this? What's going on? I thought it was over with. I thought your case was settled. The case settled, yeah, out of court or whatever. But I'm not settled. I mean, I'm not healed. My wound hasn't closed up yet. It's going to take a long time.
For one thing, McSorley says he can't really move on until the church has really changed. Many victims agree, but they're split on how to force that change. While some work the bullhorns and walk the picket lines, others, like Gary Bergeron, are trying to work with and within the church. Bergeron says he gets hate mail from other victims who accuse him of selling out and collaborating with the enemy. But he says confronting those who betrayed him is the only way for him to heal.
There needs to be a dialogue, and you can't do that screaming. You know what? If you're going to get something done, you've got to at least get in the door. We're not going to get in the door with a bullhorn. I'm not going to get in the door throwing tomatoes. And we have to move forward.
Part of moving forward, Bergeron says, is getting back to what he sometimes calls real life. With the sexual abuse scandal dominating the news every day, he says it's easy to let it take over your life as well.
I don't want to be stuck in victim mode here. Sexual abuse that I suffered doesn't define who I am. What I've decided to do this year defines who I am. Last year for me was a transition. It turned me from a victim to a survivor. But that's a choice I made.
In time, Bergeron says he's also hoping to make the transition back from lapsed Catholic to believer. While many victims want nothing more to do with the church that betrayed them, Bergeron says he envies those who still have their faith, and he says he won't be fully healed until he figures out a way to return to church and fill the spiritual void he now feels. Tovia Smith, NPR News, Lowell, Massachusetts.